Let's talk to John McMullen, who I go back and forth with on Twitter now and then on different issues, which is fun. John, of course, a longtime NFL columnist for TSN, does a lot of work in radio for ESPN, Fox Sports Radio, SB Nation Radio, and generally runs around, watches the Eagles play, and tweets about a lot of different things around the NFL. John, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Chris.
I appreciate you coming on. It's always nice to get your opinions in. What was your reaction to yesterday's Kaepernick decision?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think both sides sort of got to the point where there was no return, and the fact that the grievance was going to be heard this spring, and one of two things were going to happen. Ultimately, the NFL usually wins these cases because of the CBA. I think that would have been the case here. However, Mark Garagos, who's a very high-profile attorney, that Colin Kaepernick hired, is very good at certain things, and he got this to the point where there was significant discovery. And if it went to the grievance hearing, some of that would have been leaked, almost assuredly. That's what the NFL was concerned with. And I think Mark is smart enough to understand he's not going to win. So you have a monetary settlement, and both sides kind of get something, not everything they wanted, but something they wanted.
You tweeted out that the NFL is often a very poorly run league, and even though $60 to $80 million is nothing to a $15 billion business, that you'd be stunned if that amount was the amount. Why would you say that?
Well, I think you have to understand there's been two sides to this issue. It's kind of polarized, obviously, and it's much like our society as a whole. And I think people are searching for what they call their confirmation bias, and that particular number came from a certain reporter that has been, let's be honest, pro Colin Kaepernick. I I don't see why the NFL would hand over $80 million in this type of circumstance. It doesn't make a lot of sense. That number was purely speculative. And I just don't believe it, to be honest. Now, you can talk about 32 teams sharing it, and if you look at it that way, it's sort of like a line item. It doesn't matter. But as we've seen in the past, the NFL will fight these issues as long as possible if they feel they're being railroaded, and whether rightly or wrongly, treated unfairly. And the fact that they agree to this indicates to me that they were very, very happy with the settlement.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe. And maybe they just felt like, as you say, I mean, I said yesterday, it's sort of like money's like sand in the desert for those guys. I mean, if they need it to go away, they're going to pay for it to go away. So it's very hard to know. But to the point of this conversation, it's exactly what they wanted. Let people speculate all they want. They don't know. They'll never know. And that's, they could say $150 million. They could say $10 million. It doesn't matter because they can't prove it and they won't ever be able to. And that's what we wanted. So in that sense, it's there for speculation, but no one likely will ever know. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you think about leaks and how they happen, it's going to come from one camp or the other. But we mentioned Mark Garagos. I mean, he could be disbarred if he ignores a non-disclosure agreement. So it's not going to come from that aspect. It's not going to come from the NFL. So it would have to come from personal camps and those numbers or anything that's leaked in that fashion are obviously not reliable. So you're right. We're never going to know. And that's just part of it. But from the NFL standpoint, the positive aspect is they got discovery from Jerry Jones. They got discovery from Robert Kraft, Roger Goodell. None of that is going to be made public. And I think that's the more important aspect from the NFL standpoint.
All right, let's talk about some general issues with John McMullen. Chris Moore sitting in on a Saturday afternoon as we kick around some NFL issues. And in fact, past the NFL, you look at Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell sitting out, and you look at Anthony Davis down in New Orleans with the Pelicans, and in New York yesterday or the day before, Jacob deGrom said, you know what, I might look at my innings and and I might decide that, you know, with my agents that maybe I want to limit how much I throw, given that I don't have a long-term contract. And my overall point is players are pretty powerful, and the star players are pushing the envelope a little bit here more and more as time goes on. Do you see it as a trend? What's your general thought about that issue, if in fact you think it is an issue?
Well, I certainly think it is an issue. You mentioned DeGrom, Anthony Davis in the NBA. I think those are bigger issues. I don't know if it's crossed over into the NFL just yet. You look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he sits out an entire season because he wants to sort of change the landscape of his position, and the fact that running backs have been devalued from a financial standpoint. But he took a big chance. He's never going to be able to get that money back. So it's not like he's pushing the NFL in another direction. Ultimately, I think he becomes the highest paid running back. He's not going to get what he wants, and he's not going to recoup that money he lost. So I think that was a gamble, probably not a smart gamble, to be honest, from Le'Veon Bell. I think it's a bigger concern in other sports to this point. But we'll see if it bleeds over to the NFL.
And you look at Brown, and you kind of, in New York, I guess we're a little sensitive too, because Odell Beckham has been unhappy, and there are some Giant fans that think, you know, enough is enough. He's too big a distraction. He's somebody that is a prima donna and isn't a team guy first, and others that love his talent and, you know, wonder whether he and Eli can coexist, et cetera. But he hasn't been, you know, the model citizen in terms of team first. So you got Antonio Brown, you got a potential Beckham situation. You just wonder whether guys can really force the envelope. And the Steelers organization is so well respected that you just, you know, it just makes you pause a little bit. Are these guys, you know, all over the place going to force issues at a time where it seems like, you know, and the NBA is full of prima donna guys that, you know, that want to go together, and, you know, the Knicks are opening two spots so that they can get two guys to come in here and they get two come together. And you just wonder about the landscape of the individual right now.
Yeah, I think you've always seen certain guys, and particularly in the NFL at the receiver position, for whatever reason, we always talk about diva receivers. And it's been that way for a long time, whether you go back to, you know, guys like Terrell Owens and Randy Moss and some of the issues they had, or Odell Beckham today, Antonio Brown. It generally is focused on individual situations with their particular organizations or teammates at a specific time. I don't know if there's a theme to it. Obviously, Antonio has had some issues with Ben Roethlisberger, now with Mike Tomlin as well. So maybe that's a divorce. But you look at OBJ, yeah, he's been immature. And Jay Glazer kind of fueled the trade talks, but Jay was speculating and predicting. It wasn't, and people ran with it. And then I think you talk about the Giants, and you go back to all the way before the first Super Bowl with Eli, and remember, he was a young quarterback at the time, and they moved on from players like Jeremy Shockey and Tiki Barber. They were getting killed for that, but they were me first guys. They wanted better chemistry. Perhaps that's why they move on to Odell Beckham at some point. I could see that. But I think they're all individual cases. I don't see necessarily a theme. And I do see a theme, certainly in the NBA and maybe a little bit in Major League Baseball.
Are you let's get to your Eagles for a second and the team you cover. Where's Nick Foles in September in your mind?
Well, the Eagles would hope he's in Jacksonville or Miami. They want to keep him out of the division. They want to keep him away from the Giants and the Redskins, and we'll see if they can do that. I think it's going to be really difficult for them because the only thing they can do now is franchise him and then trade him. I don't know how many people would be willing to pay Nick Foles $25 million. that's going to be about what the franchise tag is, and then give the Eagles something on top of that. It only takes one. It always only takes one. But I wouldn't do that. And so I think ultimately Nick's just going to be a free agent, and he's going to sign where he wants to sign.
Would the Giants be better with Nick Foles than Eli Manning?
Yes. And I'm not a big Nick Foles guy. Let's get that straight. I mean, Eli Manning did some wonderful things for the New York Giants. You got to take the emotion out of it. It's time to move on. He's not a high-level NFL quarterback at this point. And if you look at the skill position talent on the Giants, specifically with OBJ, if he's there, Saquon Barkley, I mean, that team can turn it around very, very quickly if they get competent play at the quarterback position. I don't think they've been getting competent play from Eli Manning for years now. And that's not going to turn around in 2019.
Le'Veon Bell, you talked about him probably getting the biggest contract. You have a sense of where he might end up and who it makes sense for in this league?
Well, one would be the Jets. They would certainly make sense. I mean, if you look at the contract as a whole, Todd Gurley, and that's just the way the NFL is. It's about timing. And if he gets to free agency, remember the Steelers could technically still tag him again. There's been talk about the transition tag. But I just think there's irreconcilable differences there. I don't think they can even attempt to bring him back. Certainly can't put the franchise tag on him again. That's too much money. So you start looking at the Oaklands of the world and the Jets. And I do think somebody will give him that contract. But from Le'Veon's standpoint, he always argued that he was more than a running back. And maybe he's right because he's such a great receiver. He's a three-down guy. But he's just not going to be that transformative figure, and that's what he wanted to be, that changed the financial landscape of the NFL. I don't think he's going to be able to do that.
A few weeks removed now, John, from the Patriots. It's hard to really grasp how successful they have been. What are your thoughts about what we've witnessed over this last two decades?
It's amazing. I mean, if you go back to the 70s, where you had so many great teams and great organizations, whether it was the Steelers and Chuck Knoll or the Cowboys with Landry and Staubach, the Dolphins, even teams that didn't win, like Minnesota with the four Super Bowls and Bud Grant, all those teams, there was no free agency. You got a core group together that were together for a decade plus. And in this era of free agency, constant turnover, the churning from year to year, to at least 30% from the roster, what they do and the consistency, it's amazing. And I just went through it with the Eagles. The grind to play these long seasons, to play in the February, you're behind every other team when it comes to draft preparation, free agency preparation. And it wears on you. And they do it every year. It really is amazing. And then you talk about Sean McVay being the flavor of the month in this league. He got embarrassed. He got embarrassed by Bill Belichick.
No question.
And there's no other way to shape it.
Yeah, giving him 2 weeks, and you know, even though last year people said the same thing, and obviously Philadelphia got 41 on him, this year wasn't going to happen again. The other thing that's amazing is we've spent all our time talking about stars, right? I mean, today, you and I just talking Anthony Davis, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Machado and Harper. Everybody's waiting on them in baseball. And yet here you go up there, and it's Tom Brady. And yeah, Gronkowski's a great player, and Edelman has proved his, but it's not like they are loaded with superstar players or people can go back in their head, like you said, in the 70s and name, you know, the entire Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, you know, Mean Joe Green, go through the whole team the way they, I mean, people don't remember even who played for the Patriots. It's remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their best team, didn't win. That was the 16-0 team that the Giants beat. And Randy Moss had the, whatever it was, the 23 touchdowns that year. and that team didn't win. But, yeah, you think about from Tom Brady's first Lombardi Trophy to this one, and think about how that team has changed and how many different types of teams they've had over that time, whether it was the Randy Moss team, and then they sort of shifted to the two tight end setup before you know, Aaron Hernandez's personal life went off the rails, and they had Gronk and him, and their ability to get the running backs to catch the ball out of the backfield. They've had so many different types of teams over this run. And defensively, I mean, I think it starts with Bill Belichick. I think you constantly hear coaches in this league talk about simplifying things. You hear it all the time. And he's the only one from week to week, the Patriots will completely change the way they play. And nobody else has the confidence in their players to do it, or maybe it's the confidence in themselves to teach them to be able to do it. I think if I had to point to one thing, it would be that, because I remember the first time the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Andy Reid, it spent 2 weeks, and he's one of the best, I would argue, the best preparation coach besides Bill Belichick. He spent 2 weeks preparing for one front. He showed up on game day and got another. And that sums up the Patriots. No yeah. other coach is willing to do that.
Yeah, it really defies explanation, and you just really do marvel at it, and you wonder and doubt that you'll ever see it again. John, good conversation. We appreciate you giving us some time on a Saturday afternoon. Thanks for being on The Fan with us.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.